Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Glory, nothing compares to Jesus. Nothing. Nothing, nobody, nowhere, no how, not now, not ever. The one and only Yeshua. Messiah, the greatness of God, hallelujah. Now don't laugh, I brought props. Alrighty. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we open our hearts and our spirits to you. We lay aside all flesh. We lay aside all worries, all junk. All distractions, we put it out, we put it away. And now, Father, we want to come before you, and we want to fully receive all that you are, all that you have for us. Say, I want to receive all you have for me. Don't let me get in the way. I want it all. In Jesus' name. Okay, there is a scripture that I find fascinating. It says, as he is, so are we in this world. That's, if that wasn't written in the Bible, would we believe that? So how does that work, or how should that be working? As he is, so are we in this world. You know I talk a lot about this, but I felt like we wanted to go in a new, like a new description of something I talk about a lot, which is the flesh versus the spirit. Because a lot of times when I talk about it, people say, that's great, Holly, but how? How do I do that? So I want to go through some stuff. I'm going to call this, As He Is, So Are We in This World. That's the title. This is about our external behavior versus an internal transformation, also known as the flesh versus the spirit. In John 3, verse 5 and 6, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, it sounds, if you didn't really know what he was talking about, you'd be like, what are you talking about? So what is born of the flesh? Our physical body? What is your flesh when the Bible talks about that? It's talking about your physical body, your mind or intellect. You're thinking it through, right? Your will and your choices. Your will, I will do this, or I will obey God. I will do that, or I will obey God. Our emotions, yeah, but I feel this way, but your word says that. But I feel that way, but the Spirit of God says that. Okay, that's flesh versus spirit. So that which is born of the Spirit is your born-again spirit. It's the new you, and I believe everyone in here is born again. But when you got born again, you weren't just forgiven of your sins. You, according to the Bible, you were recreated as a brand new entity. The real you, the new you, the you that's from heaven. So your born-again spirit is not just a spiritual process. It was a transaction that's literal. Your spirit lives in your body just like your mind does. Okay? It is born again. It is regenerated. It is actually a parcel from heaven. Isn't that amazing? I find that amazing. And I think, personally, I think God did this to trick the devil. Because the devil thought, I'm going to get Jesus, I'm going to kill him. He was clueless what Jesus was really doing. That Jesus wasn't just going to forgive people, he was going to recreate himself in us. So now instead of contending with one Jesus, Satan has to contend with a whole lot of them. He's in real trouble and he knows it. Okay, so Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no way he can have spiritual discernment or see heaven or really commune with the Father, can he? Because that link was broken with Adam. It was broken. And the only person that could restore it was Jesus. So all these things dwell in your body if you're born again, right? Your mind, your emotions, your will, all these decisions, all your old junk, if you haven't gotten rid of it, and this holy thing that he gave us called your spirit man, which is the new you. So I'm using props. You were recreated, when you were recreated, it is as though the fall never happened. That's how pure your born-again spirit is. Right? I'll get into this a little bit later, but what was Adam's seed, it was Adam basically turned the world and his flesh over to the devil, Adam and Eve both. And so we were all descendants of that, so we were in sin. The Bible says death passed on all men. We had no hope at all. But Jesus came to do what Adam didn't do and give us something that was, the Bible says, born from above, but put it in the same body. Huh? How about it? So this is a person, this box. And I'm just using it as an example because I want to show you what happens. This is a person, I'm going to start with this, could be man or woman, who is not yet born again. Okay? And this particular person who's not born again, right, they don't know God, maybe they don't want to. I didn't want to at first. Maybe they're not even religious. They don't care. They don't know. They don't know God. And they have anger issues. So I got a little bit of, well, it's paprika, but we're going to pretend it's red pepper. They have anger issues. They have rage. Sometimes it's suppressed. Sometimes it goes, sometimes they mask it, but sometimes it blows up, right? They've got that. It's in them. It's in their soul. That's where rage resides. Here we have, let's say it's a woman or a man who has lust or promiscuousness. So I put a little Tabasco sauce. Let's say the person has fear. Some people are bound by fear their whole life. They're fearful. And it binds them. It causes them to look at everything through the filter of fear. What about this? What if this happens? Oh, my God. You know, everything's fearful. And that's, what do we got there? Ginger. You can tell I raided the cabinet. And this will be, I'll make this up, let's say anxiety or worry. Doesn't matter. There's hundreds and hundreds of things. Not all of us have the same stuff, but we all have stuff when we come to Jesus. Now, the thing is, when we're born again, the stuff doesn't always leave right away, does it? Sometimes if you get a real blast when you're born again, a few things might leave. But sometimes we still have this stuff in our soul, because your soul, according to the Bible, is not the same as your spirit, is it? No, it's not. So, do you need that proven? Does anybody need that proven?
Need what?
That proven, that your soul is not the same? Because in the old days, they used it interchangeably. And it says that the Word of God is able to divide the soul and the spirit, right? Right?
Yes.
It divides or it discerns between the soul and the spirit. So they're two separate things. So your soul is who you're, it's like you might say your personality, mind, will, and emotions. So now this person, let's say they meet John and he witnesses to him, and they accept Christ, they receive this born, pardon me, it's a Kleenex box. I wanted it to look like a golden, you know, chest, but this is the best I could do. So this is their born again spirit from heaven. Now, interestingly, it's like Jesus. It's made in his image, yet somehow it's also wholly you, completely you. This is the real you, and this is the true you. So this goes in the same person. So they have this stuff going on, and this stuff going on, and they have this stuff going on. Now, I'm persuaded that the vast majority of the body of Christ, and this is not a disrespect, but I believe that the most of the body of Christ has never really learned how to put aside these things and operate out of this. And so a lot of times people, because it's hidden in you. And so if you don't learn how to tap into this golden treasure in earthen vessels, you won't hear him, because God isn't speaking to this ear. He's speaking into your spirit, man. He isn't speaking to your mind. A lot of people who are really strong intellectually have trouble receiving the spirit because they have to understand it first, and it hinders them because there are some things in God that are beyond understanding. They can only be received by faith. Yes?
I have a question then. So if that box represents our flesh and all the things in it...
This is a human.
Right. So yep. It's a human body, and then it has those things in it, anger, whatever, and that golden spirit. What you're saying is sometimes we're trying to listen like at the edge of the box and it's not quite getting in.
Or some people, even though they're born again, were never taught or never read their Bible or understood it maybe. And I didn't have a full grasp on it for a long, long time. But in us, We have this mind, we have our will, we have our emotions, we have our stuff, but we also have this born-again spirit. But what I want to get at and talk about is how to lay those other things aside and kind of flip the switch so we can learn how to hear what the Spirit is saying, okay? Because that is also our communication link with heaven. Yeah. Your flesh is your mind, will, and emotions. We might say your personality. So, and it is your soul. If a person has, well, you've worked with deliverance. If a person has an issue, we'll say, and they need deliverance, a lot of times that's contained in their soul, and it's housed from issues they had when they were little. So, yeah, a soul is a big part of it. Yeah. Yeah. So we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I'm just going to say this. If I did a series on called This Treasure in Earthen Vessels, I would encourage you, you can go online and hear it free, but I would encourage you to listen to that set because it really goes into detail about how this works. That's 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. So we may not look like much on the outside. You might meet somebody and you think, oh, they're you know, still a mess. They still are, you know, cussing. They're still a little rough. You know, I went to a Christian biker party and they were still rough. But you know what? Inside them, a lot of them were born again and they were working out their salvation just like I am, right? We can't judge based on what it looks like on the outside. Okay, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm just going to say, I believe that what Paul was alluding to in Romans 7 is that the only good stuff that comes out of us, the only really good and everlasting things that come out when we yield to the Spirit of God and let Him do what He wants to do. Right? Because he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Right? And many Christians have gotten religious, and I'm not putting anybody down. This is just a learning thing. But I think that we were taught to do Christianity for God, be good enough, act this way. Okay, I'm going to love people, so here, you know, I'm gonna put the mask on, right? Right? Have you ever worn a mask to church? I don't feel like praising. I'm going to praise God because, you know. And we do the works, and sometimes that's the best you can do till you learn. But ideally, we learn how to shift all that stuff aside and operate out of the Spirit God put in us. And when we do that, He does an amazing work through us, and we think, how did that happen? You know, we know it wasn't us, right? We know it wasn't us. So the excellence and may be of God, the power may be of God and not of us. Colossians 1:27 calls this Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, that's Christ in you. And Christ in you, why does it say hope? Why doesn't it just say Christ in you, glory? Because most people, I believe God hopes that we will learn how to so yield to the Holy Spirit in us, okay? That we will begin to learn how to bow the knee to Him in every area of our life until we give Him the license or the open door to manifest heaven into earth, okay? So let me just go a little further with my prop. So let's say a guy finally learns how, and I'm ahead of myself, but let's say he says, okay, I'm going to put aside my thinking, I'm going to put aside my emotions, I'm going to turn to the Holy Spirit, and instead of trying to make this healing happen or, you know, work it up or do all this stuff, Holy Spirit, how do I do it? Because a lot of times He'll give you a different method than He gave you last year. Do you know it? Right, because He's holy. So the guy says, Lord, I need some. Oh, there's my healing. See, it's a Kleenex box. Lord, I need wisdom. I got this problem. I don't know what to do. Oh, it's stuck. Wisdom. Yay, right? It's coming out. And if we had a more true picture, it would look like this. Because there's this open, I believe there's an open heaven. But it's through the Spirit of God. We've tried to get this stuff to happen in the flesh. We read the books, right? We read the John G. Lake book, and we try to make it. Oh, I forgot. This guy is an intellectual. He's very smart, right? And that can be like a two-edged sword, right? So in our spirit man, I'll just tell you, this is my opinion. I've never heard anybody teach this. But the Bible talks about that we can't receive new wine without a new wineskin. So I personally think The new wine is compared to the Holy Spirit. So I think the wine skin is when you get born again. Now you've got a package he can fill. That's just my opinion. We call that holiology, which means you can take it or leave it. But I think that makes sense, because if we weren't born again, we couldn't really receive or keep the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But if we are born again and we say, fill me with the Holy Spirit, because remember in Acts 19, actually two places in Acts, the apostles met some believers. They believed in Jesus, so they were born again. And they said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we never heard there was a Holy Ghost. They didn't even know about it. Right? But it was very, Jesus thought it was so important. He said, he told the disciples, go into all the earth and preach the gospel. But then he says, but don't go. Go to Jerusalem and wait. Go, but don't go until you get the power from on high. You had to receive this power from on high into your born again spirit in order to have boldness, in order to have the grace to witness or the ability to remember a scripture. Sometimes when I'm in the spirit, I'll remember stuff that in the flesh I couldn't remember to save my life. I was witnessing this police officer one time, and I was like, I didn't even know I knew that. And it was like, brum, 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 scripture, scripture, reference, reference. I'm pretty good with scriptures, not so hot with references. And it was like one upon another. And what was happening? God, the Holy Spirit, was open gateway, right? Because he wanted this guy. He was speaking into me. It was going out of my mouth to release the glory. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, the more you get good at letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. And this is in everything. Do you have a math test? Turn it over to the Holy Ghost. If you have to speak somewhere, turn it over to the Holy Ghost. You have to write a tough letter. I had to write an essay for something the other day, and I'm like, Holy Ghost, I need some help. You know, help. Whatever it is, whether it's small or whether it's great, he wants you to ask him. Some people say, well, aren't these details too small? No, that's when he really shines. He wants to not only make you a success, he wants to glorify Jesus. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. He loves to bring glory to Jesus. We have, frankly, lots and lots of Christians who are doing the right works, struggling with it, right? Going through the cycle of beating themselves up, but they're doing it because you're supposed to, but there's not a grace there to do it, so they're forcing it in the flesh, right? It doesn't work. But if we can turn it over to the Holy Spirit, let him do it through us, and we're like, how did that even happen, right? That's called the grace of God, which is the ability of God to do through you what you can't do, okay? So God needed a way to commune with man, but man was in such a fallen state. I think this was God's solution. This is what I'll do. I'll fill him. And so why do some people never find this and other people find it and live their life by it? And if you see somebody who lives their life by it, they'll do strange things. They'll make odd decisions. They'll make decisions that make no sense because they're yielding to the Holy Spirit instead of what made sense to their head. But you'll see them walk in victory after victory after victory after victory because they're living a life that was led by the Spirit instead of their head, right? So he recreated these new wineskins, so we got born again. Then if we were filled with the Spirit, we received the new wine so that we might have fellowship with him, guess what, in his language. So we had this communication system now where when we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession through us, right? So even when we don't know what to do, he does it. So we are bypassing the flesh. When you pray in tongues, you are bypassing your flesh and your intellect, and you're praying what God knows needs to be prayed in the earth. Amen. 2 Peter 1:4. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. Now, most of us could look at ourselves and go, oh, it doesn't look divine. I don't always act divine. But what he's saying is that this nature is in you by virtue of the fact that you were born again. These promises enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. 1 Corinthians 6:17. How about this? The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So heaven and earth are joined together. Heaven and earth are met together. Where? In you. So when it says you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you were made to be, created to be the gateway of God into the earth. So God is always looking for somebody whose heart is wholly his. I think this is the biggest test of idolatry. I want to do this. I want that. I dream of that. Or I think it should be this way. I think it should be this way. Or, okay, it doesn't matter what I think, Lord. Remember what Jesus said in Gethsemane? Not, oh Lord, let this cup pass from me. He knew how brutal it was going to be. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he was basically saying, even if they kill me for it, did he want to go? No, he was sorrowful unto death. He didn't want to go. I wouldn't want to go either. But he would not have an idol before God. Do you know that when we say, well, yeah, Lord, but I want it this way. I've always had this dream. This is what I want to do. That's an idol. You know, I tell you something else on the side. A lot of times people say, well, I don't hear from God. There's a couple reasons people don't hear from God, but one of them can be they come to God already knowing what they want it to be, and they're asking God to tell them that thing. And I've seen Satan step in and tell them that thing. And then later they're like, why was I deceived? Because you didn't really submit it to God. I will not ask God his opinion until I have killed and decimated any opinion that I have. That I don't want my opinion. I learned really early that if you leave it to me, I will screw it up. Okay? I don't want my opinion, and I don't want to hear from my intellect. So one of the greatest ways to hear from God is to turn that off. When I go before the Lord, my mind doesn't get to have a say. I don't get to figure it out, and here's what makes sense. I don't care what makes sense. A lot of times God does what doesn't make sense, doesn't he? You know the example. Abraham, take your son, your only son. Take him up the mountain and sacrifice him to me. Did that make any sense? That's just crazy, right? But Abraham got up really early. He didn't wait 3 weeks. Got up really early and saddled his donkey and prepared the way and took Isaac up to go kill him. Now, did that make sense? No. But in the spirit, it made sense because God was sowing. He was looking for somebody that would prophetically sow into the earth that God would kill his one and only son, the one he loved. It was a seed for what God would later do. And if Abraham hadn't done it, I'm convinced God would have had to wait till he found somebody else. Because all the things about Jesus' life were prophetically spoken or acted out. Hallelujah. Thank you for that round of applause.
Amen.
So he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you can get a hold of the picture of what that looks like, then you can understand things like, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You say, is that possible? Of his fullness we've received? Where is it? It's in your spirit man, or at least the access to it is in your spirit man. Okay? How about this? All things are yours, and you are Christ's. And Christ is God. Wow, really? Those are scriptures that we shy away from because how could that be true? But it is true if you look at it this way. So there's this direct connection to heaven. Now, Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul had this huge understanding of this. Remember he said in Romans 7, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, the thing I don't want to do, that I do, the thing I want to do, that I don't do. He was aware that there were two people in him fighting, right? It was the flesh and the spirit, and they were at enmity, which means they were enemies, okay? So all these things are living in this person's body. They may still have the rage, the anger, the fear, the lust, the worry, and the treasure in earthen vessels. And especially they may have a strong intellect. Or what about emotions? What about when you know in your heart God is telling you to do something and your emotions are just going wing-wing because you don't want to do it? Right?
Yeah.
And you have before you then a choice. Will my emotions be an idol? And whenever you let your flesh rule, you sow a seed. You sow to your flesh and you open a door to the other guy, the devil. Right? He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And what you're doing, you may not know you're doing it, but what you're doing is saying, yeah, I love you, Jesus, but I want my way in this, so this is more important to me than you are. Yeah, that's what we're saying. What about emotions? Well, yeah, but I'm in love with him. I remember when I was young and skinny and cute and little, and I was dating this really cute guy with the bluest eyes you ever saw. And I was really, it started out, I was missionary dating him. I was witnessing to him. Dragged him to meetings, showed him, and I was really just witnessing to the guy. And the day came when the Lord said, break up with him. And here's how he said it, if your hand, and we weren't in sin, but you know what, you can't date an atheist very long without them trying. I'm just going to say it, right? He wanted to sin, and I knew that I could not. I was set apart to God. And the scripture God gave me is if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He wasn't talking about your hand. What if your emotion said, man, I didn't love it. But what if your emotion said, but I love him? Well, now you have a choice. Is that going to be your God? Is that an idol? Or are you going to say, get me the axe, I'm cutting it off, right? And here's what happens. Every time you do that, you have sown to the Spirit. You have opened the door in that area of your life to release the Spirit of God to flow through you. A lot of people say they want to be called to ministry, but they won't die to anything. Come on, Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. You know what his life was like? He got beat up, left for dead, shipwrecked, beat up again. Everywhere he went, he got beat up. And he would, you know what he did? He would just get up and go, and they throw him in jail. He would preach to people. If they threw him in jail, he'd say, okay, well, I'll just write to people. When they put him in the stocks so he couldn't write, he said, well, I'll praise the Lord. I'll just praise him until there's an earthquake and, you know, the doors are open. You know, he just wouldn't quit. What did he have? He had a willingness to put nothing before Jesus because he had a revelation of the greatness of Jesus. Our problem is we haven't seen Jesus. We haven't had a full enough revelation of who we're serving, because if we did, we would never let this silliness come before Jesus. We would never let idolatry take over like we have. What about people who are so emotionally ruled? I can say this because I used to be. But when they're emotionally ruled, you know, God is saying one thing through his word, but your emotions are leading you around by the nose, right? It's an idol, chuck it. Ooh, that was rude, wasn't it? So, Galatians 5:17. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And that's always going to be the case. Your flesh is always going to want what the Spirit of God doesn't want, right? And the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So shouldn't we, the body of Christ, be manifesting God's character and nature? Because as he is, so we're supposed to be in this world. So how do we do it? We need to learn how to live in a new way. So how do we live out of the Spirit rather than out of the flesh? We all still have flesh. We all still have intellect. We all, you know, and the really smart ones, I think, have a harder time because they want to understand first. I have several friends that just could not receive, you know, they just really struggled receiving their tongues. They struggled with the gifts of the Spirit. They struggled receiving. And the reason was they couldn't get out of their head, and their understanding and reasoning figured out it's not going to come from your head. It comes from heaven. Does that make sense? No. Will it ever? Probably not. The things of God can't be carnally understood, right? The things of the Spirit, they don't make sense to our mind. So at some point we have to say, well, you said it in your word, that's enough for me. You said it in your word, I don't really get it, Lord, but if this is something you want to do, I'm in. Right? That's faith and that's obedience. And when you do that, you yield to him. See, what God wants, he wants such an open heaven in you that when you learn how to put yourself aside, you know, the older you get, the easier it gets. If this is your determination, it gets easier and easier because it becomes a habit. And you're never disturbed anymore. Oh, we're not doing, oh, okay. I can't have that, okay. Because what happens is your life becomes his. And it becomes, over time, your joy to please him. And your desire to have your way and have your house and have the money and have the guy and all that stuff, it fades away because you've continually made the choices. And what you're doing is over and over sowing to the kingdom of God, sowing to the Spirit of God, sowing to the Word of God. And what happens is it becomes who you are and what you desire. And you begin to really think about, you know, I have friends that preach on the blessing all the time, and I think that's wonderful, and I love that. God blesses us. I love that. But here's what I want to know. What would bless him? Is there something that would make him happy? Sometimes I talk to him like this. What would make your day? Is there something that would make your day? What would it be like if I could wash your feet? What would that look like? Is there something I could do? And he'll give me some little, seemingly unimportant thing to do for somebody who might seem like the least in the kingdom. And you know what I'm doing? I'm washing his feet, right? Hallelujah. I know, thank you for that round of applause. So how do we live out of the Spirit rather than out of our flesh? Oh dear me. I forgot to put the reference, so I'm going to say, I think this is Romans, but anyway, those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds on and pursue those things that gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now, the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh cannot please God. Yikes. Yeah. You say even, see, a lot of people, I want to be gentle here, but I've been in places where I remember I had been, okay, I was a choir director at church for 10 years. It was a tough job, but God told me to do it. It was really hard. And it was just hard. It was a lot of hard things about it. When I went to the next church, God had promoted me to a new position, so I wasn't doing that anymore, I was doing something else. And the pastor came to me and he said, hey, I heard that you did the choir, and I smiled and said, no. And he said, but Holly, he goes, will you pray about it? I said, no, because I knew God was saying no. And he said, but Holly, people need to feel like they're part of something. I said, then let them join the community glee club. And we laughed about it, we were friends. But I knew it wasn't what God was doing. But you know, if I would have done that, we would have set up a work in the flesh. It would have had no move of the Spirit. But it would have been us doing something for God in our flesh. Right? Have you ever done something that God didn't call you to do because it seemed like a good thing? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not very fruitful, is it? And so what I'm saying is, if you could get rid of all the stuff, your flesh, even good works, even what seems like holy things, and if you could chuck that and begin to sit at the feet of Jesus and get his plan, you'll begin to see real fruit in the kingdom. Because the Spirit of God always, always, always bears fruit. Okay? So, I read that, but let's do this. Another translation says to be carnally minded. That just means earthly minded or of the senses. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, which means the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Wow. So interestingly, think about this scripture, Genesis 3:15. I just saw this today. Now, in this, God is talking to the serpent. Remember after the serpent tempted them? He tempted Eve. God is mad at the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. Now, it was really talking about the devil and Jesus. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. But I got to thinking about this. In you, the seed of Adam took root, right? We are the Bible says, through Adam, death passed on all men. Adam was our earthly dad. He's the father of the flesh. And in you is this born-again spirit, which is, the Bible says, born from above. Is there not enmity between those two seeds? So these two are living in you, and they're both fighting for dominion, although the Holy Spirit just waits. The flesh fights for dominion. The Holy Spirit just says, when you're ready. And he'll wait years. You know, I know I've shared this before, but when I was learning about the Holy Spirit, we were becoming friends. I wanted, you know, above all, get to be friends with the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's your mentor. He's your counselor. He's the one that leads and guides you into all truth. He is the wisdom of God. He's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I could go on and on. But make friends with the Holy Spirit. He should be your best friend. And I was learning, and I had met this couple. They were in real trouble, and I had a word of the Lord for them that I knew would fix the situation, but they didn't want my opinion. Okay? And so I was weeping, and I was praying for them. I was saying, Lord, I know what you're saying. They don't want to know because they don't regard me, which is fine. I don't care if they regard me, but they're having a problem. It was serious. And I had this picture. I'm laying in bed praying, and I had this picture that I was outside the door of their house. They're in the kitchen, and they're just grieved, and they have this horrible problem. And I'm looking through the screen door, and I'm saying, I'm knocking on the door, and they're not letting me in. And the Holy Spirit said this, that's exactly what my people do to me. I'm standing here all the days of your life with every single solution to every single problem. And he's waiting 24/7 for you to say, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? What do I do with this? How do I fix this? He waits because he's pretty polite, right? He doesn't come in and blow you down and say, throw this. No, he waits because God wants to be sought. He says, when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. He wants to be made first. And so this is fascinating to me. He didn't make a people that were like robots that would just do everything the godly way. He made people who would have the choice how far they would go with God. Did you know that there's no limit to how far you can go in God? Did you know there's no limit to being the gateway of heaven? There's no one person that can do more than another. It's really about our choices and continuing to sow the choice to say, no, I'm not going to do what I want. No, I'm not going to figure it out. No, I'm not going to run this with my emotions. But I'm going to bow down before you and whatever you want. And what you do is you build yourself up in that. And you become a person that when you open your mouth, he talks. That's what he wants. When you put out, we were somewhere, and there was this dear brother and sister, and he needed a healing. He was in terrible pain for months on end. These are people of faith. They go to a strong, spirit-filled, really good faith church, but he hadn't been able to receive his healing. Now, I'm not saying, doo-dah, look at me. I'm saying we prayed, and within we God told us some things by the Spirit, right? It wasn't just faith. He told us some things by the Spirit. Do this, do this, do this in the Spirit. Say this, say this. Boom, healed. What was that? That was the Holy Spirit giving us direction, because we don't go in going, okay, now I'm going to do the faith thing. I'm going to make the confession. I'm going to lay hands on him. I'm going to do all this stuff in my flesh, which would probably have no result, right? Or we could sit quietly and go, oh, okay, well, let's break generational curses. Oh, okay, this is actually a devil. Not all infirmities are, but this one was. Deal with that. Boom, healed. That was from relationship with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit healed him. Okay? That's how it should work. So we look at it like, why are you not using me more? Well, maybe why are you not dipping into the well more? Okay, so let's just give an example. Where do I move? What house or city? Somebody's trying to deal with that, let's say. And their emotions say, I've always wanted to live in thus and so type of house. I've always wanted to live near my friend. Or their earthly wisdom says, it makes more sense to buy a house near the train station. Or it makes more sense to buy a house near my grandkids. So they got wisdom, they got emotions. And my family says, well, we think you should do blah, 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 right? So here's how to flip the switch from the flesh to the Spirit. Basically, you don't have to say this, but this is the decision. Emotions, be quiet. God knows what is best for me in his kingdom. Father, what do you say? Your will be done, not mine. I'm laying that on the altar, and that's where you hear God the best, when you've really put it on the altar. Because if you go to God and I had a guy call me one time, dear brother too, a good man of God. He wanted to marry somebody, and he wanted my opinion. Well, I don't like giving opinion on that stuff, okay? But I knew in my heart it was not God. I said, I got to be honest with you. I really think God is telling you to remain as you are for right now. He called my other friend, Carolyn. He wanted her to put the seal of approval. And Carolyn says, this guy had a motorcycle, okay? She said, I see you and you're riding solo. That's a Okay, you're riding solo. Like, no, the answer is no. Well, he marries her anyway because he didn't really want to know what God said. He wanted us to say, oh, sure, go ahead, marry her. Well, of course, it was a disaster, right? Because God knew. Here's what happened. She had this wonderful persona. People wear a mask while they're dating that comes off after you say, I do. You got it?
Yeah.
I don't care how cute they look. People always show you their best when you're dating them. So he's dating her, and he's called me 6 months later. They're already in the throes of a divorce. And he said, I don't know what happened. It's like the day we got married, she turned into a witch. I'm like, no, honey, she didn't turn into one. You just, you know, you had it hidden from you, and it was an idol. I was nicer than that. I don't think I said that. But the truth is, it was an idol, okay? So we need to tell our emotions. I don't want your opinion. I only want what God wants. And here's the thing. It is a trust issue. Because you have to get to know God well enough to know he will always do what is best. Even if it isn't what you thought you wanted, he has a better, higher, bigger plan. So he knows what is best for you, for the kingdom. He always will do what is best. And sometimes it may feel like this for a while, like, it wasn't what I wanted. But if you keep obeying God, you'll end up with enormous victory. And here's the thing, when God sees that you have no other gods before him, heaven is open to you. God will entrust you with much, much more. People want all the stuff from God. They want the blessings and the provision. That's cool. They want anointing. They want giftings, blah, blah, blah. You know why? Because it's all about me. But when they die to all that, if you can say, God, I don't care if I'm never used of God, I just want to love on you. I just want to do what you want me to. If I take the lowest place, I don't care. Just let me be with you. Let me have a close. When you can say that, and you can't just, by the way, say it once. You got to live it. When you do the Romans 12:1 thing of presenting yourself as, I guess 12:2 probably, right? 12:2. Present your body a living sacrifice. He'll go, that's great. Now let's live it out. That's great, Holly. I remember saying it and meaning it with all my heart. Well, I have some years of, let's prove that. Because he'll bring situations, will you really put me first? Am I really first, or is that an idol? And he'll bring one situation after another situation after another situation until he has seen what you're made of. God is not mean. He's not doing this because he's mean. He's perfecting you because you ask to be used of God. If you ever asked God, oh, Jesus, I want to be used of you, well, you're in for it. Because he says, good, I want you to carry the glory. And the more you're called to, guess what? The more you have to be changed. Because your structure your flesh can't carry the glory. Humans can't do it. Because if you were ever used greatly, you'll start taking the credit. Or think, you might not say it, but you'll be like, I healed the sick, hallelujah, I raised the dead. No, you have to come to a place where you're just as happy if somebody else did it. You know, one time I had to teach, I was teaching this thing on healing the sick, and God said this to me. Now, you all know who John G. Lake is, right? Vast miracles. I mean, just phenomenal, thousands of miracles. The guy stopped the plague in Africa, okay? Huge faith. God said to me, would you rather be a John G. Lake, or would you rather raise up 1,000 John G. Lakes? Okay, I'd rather raise up 1,000 if I could. So one of our goals here is to raise up people who can do everything we do, only better, right? When I was in Colorado last year, I got to watch at a retreat while other people who were raised up in this ministry stood in front, and they operated by the power of God in the Spirit with accuracy. People got free, and I thought, I actually started weeping for joy. I thought, I don't even need to be here. Look at that. You know what? I was so proud of them because, you know, if we always have to be the first one, then we don't have the heart of Jesus. I didn't mean to go there, but I went there. So let's say the issues was your emotions. You basically say emotions, you don't get an opinion. Father, what do you want? If it's opinions or your intellect or the opinions of others, what about when somebody else wants something and they're pressuring you? Ooh, that's harder, isn't it, right? Because you know they're going to be upset if you make a decision. One time, a friend of mine from church, he was a pool guy, and Edgar and I moved into this little rental property that had this really messy, icky, stinky pool. but I wanted to use it. So we asked him if he'd come over and teach me, and he came over and he said, man, my wife and I, he goes, we're just a mess. He goes, you know, we feel like God's saying to move to California. Then we feel like he's saying to stay here. Then we feel like he's saying go to California. I said, who's praying for you? He said, well, my parents are in California and they're praying that we'll move there. But the pastor and his wife, they were on the worship team, they're praying we'll stay. Right? So they're saying stuff that is releasing things in the spirit that are not God. So I said, well, let's, you know, we love them, but Father, we pour the blood of Jesus on all their words and prayers, and we speak, we want only your will be done on earth as in heaven. Within a week, they were like, we're moving. We're supposed to go to California. Okay? But they had to submit it completely to God and put up with the pastor who was going to probably try to pressure him. Oh, no, please stay here, you know. If you ever have somebody do that, oh, but we need you so bad. Bad. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, it feels bad, doesn't it? But Jesus had to do stuff people didn't like. Hallelujah. Okay, so what we do when we still our own voices, meaning our own opinions, our intellect, our thoughts, our soul, when we still that and come to God and put him first, what we do is we open the gateway, and that's when your hearing will get good. Your hearing will get much better because now you've submitted yourself to God and you've opened the door to the Spirit of God. When you have to have the ability, this is out there, but you have to have the ability to put yourself last and say, if everybody else is blessed before me, that's okay, because that's what he did. He became the least, and he was God. He laid aside his reputation and came to this earth, which stank. People treated him like dirt. They were abusive. They were mean. The Pharisees, the leaders, told him he cast out devils by the prince of devils. They didn't recognize him. They dishonored him in the temple. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory they're doing this to. And he took it all because he came to do it. He was like, I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I'm here to do this thing. It's going to cost me everything, and nobody's going to really get it. And there's nobody that I could go to talk this through with. Because these guys love me, but they don't really get it, right? Who did he have? The Father, the Holy Spirit. But he made a decision, I will make myself least in order to purchase these people, and I'm doing it for the Father, and I'm doing it for them. So where was he? Last. And when you do that, you make yourself like Jesus. When you can do that in your heart, then here's what I've learned. When you do that long enough, then God will begin to say, there's somebody I can use. There's somebody. When you're somebody that won't make money an idol, you won't make a big deal out of having money or not having money, when you're a steward and you continually put his kingdom first, God says, well, there's somebody I can trust with money. There's somebody I can trust with anointing because they don't mind taking the lowest place. He said it clearly. He who is least is first in the kingdom. He said it pretty clear. Okay, hallelujah. You know, this is really popular. And I think one of the biggest ones is when our intellect, we say, God, I feel like you're telling me this, but it makes no sense. Now, it is good to pray a while on it, right? If it doesn't make sense, pray a while on it. Ask the Lord to confirm it. Don't go to 50 people, but ask the Lord to confirm, and he'll sometimes use people, he'll sometimes use a dream. Most of the time, he'll use a scripture, at least for me. But lay it aside. If you think this is God, doesn't make sense, but I'm going to trust him with this because I will not have my intellect or my great analysis or what I think we should do, I will not have that as an idol. He's the brains of the outfit. I'm not, right? And when you do that, you lay it aside, come before him and say, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. You've now proven you have no idol. And God says, I have this thing for you. Whether it makes sense to you or not, it is a way that he will use to bless you. So the bottom line is that we are saying, Lord, you know better than I do. You know, when I came back to God, I was saved at 15, but when I came back to God at 26, I had one revelation, and that was, I've tried to do it these last 11 years, and all I've done is mess it up. And I used logic, I used the pros and cons, I figured it all out, and the more I did that, the worse it got. And when I came back to God at 26, I knew one thing, he knows and I don't. That's what I know. That's my big doctrine. And so I made a decision then, you have to run my life. because I will mess it up if you don't. And so that's what caused me to desire more than anything to know his voice, to know what he wanted and to do it. So we're saying, Lord, you know better than I do. I will not let my flesh rule over you, which is idolatry and an open door to the enemy. Okay, Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Right? Because it says the whole earth groans. The whole earth is waiting for us to begin to reveal God. And I believe this is how that's done. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.